Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune. Which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign-up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations. So it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today. When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. Every game, all season, the Sox play here. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of WEI Afternoons is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov.
A great year, historic year, one for me personally, but also for our team, our guys. You know, the amount of players that we lost, to see them finding their ground, their footing, and playing well. As a leader, I can't tell you how much that means to me to see those guys kind of starting to flourish on their own. You know, as of like before when the season started, there was uncertainty. It's a great, I'm proud. I don't know what to tell you. I'm extremely proud of our group to where we're at right now. You know, second in the East versus like how many players that and everything that was being said, the gap year, and for us to be sitting here at All-Star break and having our guys feeling like we could even be better, I'm proud, bro. So it's been great. It's been fun.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitz.
Well, after being bored to tears by the rejoin, we're back here on WEEI Afternoons into hour number three. Dan Ball and Justin Turpin with you in for the guys here on this Monday. We've got Brian Frazoco and Tristan Andrew back behind the glass and you at 617-779-7937. We have some Celtics-related beef that we are going to attempt to squash in this next segment of radio with me playing therapist right in the middle. But first, Justin is in D.C. to wrap up our Red Sox conversation. Hey, Justin, how are you?
Good, Dan and Justin. I wanted to start my call with a question for you folks. If you took this Red Sox offseason and just it was the same thing, but you subtracted Caleb Durbin and you added a bat like Alonso or Devers or Bregman to this team, how many more wins do you think they get? And do you think they're actually a World Series contender?
World Series contender, right on the borderline. I think that takes them from mid-80s to up around the 90-win threshold. That'd be me. Terp, you?
Yeah, I'd be right around there, too. Okay. I don't know if it instantly makes them a World Series contender, but it definitely makes them a better team.
Justin, where are you on that?
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay.
I heard your interview yesterday. I think this is probably an 80-win team if you factor in injuries and Breslow's flawed philosophy. But I think this is my point. You could have had, if Breslow was good at his job, you could have had 27 to 28 more million dollars to spend, have the same exact offseason that you just had. You just subtract 4.4 from Caleb Durbin. You subtract $8.5 million from Christian Campbell, who did not need to get extended. It was a dumb extension at the time. They could have offered him half as much money this year, and he would have signed it after the atrocious show of baseball that he did last year. You remove Patrick Sandoval, who you guys basically said does not have a position on this team, and you remove IKF. That is $27 million where you could have had the same exact offseason without John Henry spending a penny more, and then you could probably find $3 to $6 million under the seat cushion and actually have a respectable MLB lineup. So I just wanted to call in and say, we need to move this goalpost a little bit away from just saying John Henry, not that you guys are doing this, but from away saying John Henry didn't spend enough to now critically evaluating Craig Breslow, because this team is seventh in spending. And your guest, Dan, yesterday said that his offseason should result in five fewer wins for this team. It's year seven of a rebuild, and I'm sick of it.
Justin, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. Always appreciating talking ball with Justin. And he's referencing the conversation I had on yesterday's show with ESPN's Paul Hamikidis, who said the Red Sox are an 84-win team. That's what he said yesterday, which was jarring to hear when you just hear the number, given where this team was a season ago. But then you factor in what's going on around you, and you factor in the lack of pop in the middle of the lineup, and it kind of starts to make sense. But yeah, he brings up an interesting point that the amount of money that the Red Sox have tied up or have had tied up in non-factors to their winning is kind of crazy. Campbell's extension, Yoshida's contract, before the trade, Jordan Hicks's contract, who you had to attach a prospect to get rid of after you brought him in the Rafael Devers trade. Durbin, who you hope is going to be a factor, but nobody's entirely sure that he's a starter at one position this year. There is a surprising Patrick Sandoval's another. Giolito, before he came back from injury, was kind of in the Sandoval category. There is a lot of money that's wrapped up in guys who just don't impact your ability to win baseball games every night.
Which I think increased the frustration, because
yeah,
you see them doing those kind of contracts, but established players, guys like Pete Alonso, you don't go out and, you know, make those deals for. It makes no sense to me for the approach. I think it is a very flawed approach. I agree with Justin. And I just pulled up their the Red Sox win total, 87.5.
That's where the betting total.
Yep, that's the betting line, 87.5.
I can't in good faith take an over on that. I think they're close, but I think you get to 88 wins if everybody in your starting rotation stays healthy for 30 starts.
And I think in your offense as well. You can't afford to lose a guy like Trevor Story, like Roman Anthony. They need those guys to stay healthy as well. So I'd agree to take the over on that. I think everything needs to go pretty close to perfect from a health standpoint.
Right. And Tom Werner mentioned that, we still have the powder, I think he said, to make moves in season. Well, that has gone horribly in the Craig Breslow era because he can't negotiate trades on a deadline.
And I will say, we've gotten a lot of text about the rotation, and we've been very open. We've been discussing that how good this rotation is. I think it might be the best in baseball. Like, the rotation's great. But again, how many games are you going to win in today's Major League Baseball with a possibly shaky bullpen?
Yep.
And no offense.
Like,
right. It's hard to win games 2-1, 3-2. It's just, it's not the formula. It's not a sustainable formula. So as good as the rotation has been, look at the Rangers, for example, last year. They led the league in ERA, missed the playoffs.
Right.
So there,
right.
there are, we've seen this. There is precedents that have already been set where you can have this great rotation, but if you can't score runs, you're not going to win baseball games.
And that's simply and people have also pointed out, well, Contreras and Alonso are comparable. They're the same player. Contreras is better. He's a better defender. Yes, he may have a slight advantage contact-wise, maybe. You have to hit the ball out of the GD ballpark.
Breslow admitted that after the wild card. He said to win games, you have to hit home runs.
Right, so he knows it. every team that progressed in the playoffs was able to do it, and yet you did not successfully do that this offseason. And I'm supposed to believe that you're going to be better.
After highlighting it as a major need all offseason. This is just fans kind of making up this narrative. It's coming from ownership. It's coming from Craig Breslow saying, we need power. We need a power bat. We need to hit home runs. And now you have, according to one projection at least, and again, we don't think it's necessarily true or it'll come to fruition, no players projected to hit 20 home runs. And again, I still think Story can get there if he stays healthy. Roman Anthony for sure. Contreras has done it a bunch of times in his career. And I think Willie Abreu, now that he's going to be in the lineup more, not really sitting with the different splits, I think he can get there as well. But you highlighted it as an offseason need all year long and just didn't address it. That's right. The frustration. And it's not like there wasn't talent out there that can fill the need. That's the problem.
Not for nothing, too. 20 home runs is also a wildly low bar to set. Given the market size and the amount of revenue the Red Sox make, not having a 30 home run hitter is a borderline travesty to me. You have to, as a team the size of the Red Sox, have somebody who can hit the ball out of the ballpark among the better players in baseball at that regard. Even if they give up something defensively, they give up something contact-wise, you have to have a middle-of-the-order anchor in order to win baseball games in 2026.
Not to mention the ballpark that they play in. Right. It's not like they play in San Francisco where nobody gets 30 home runs.
Right. You've had Mike Napoli, Cody Ross, Mike Lowell, all these guys that have come in and just hit bombs over the monster because of the way that it's constructed. You've made home run hitters out of people, and you still were barely able to do it last year, and now you're not projected to do it this year. So we'll leave that conversation there because I'm turning red enough in the face already. Time for an extended edition of Pure Hoops with Justin Turpin and, this time around, our own hoop head here on WEEI Afternoons, Brian Ferzocco. The topic of conversation is one simple tweet. The tweet coming from at FCHWPO, otherwise known as Celtic superstar and potential MVP, Jaylen Brown. I'm proud of this group and staff/office. Looking forward to second half. Go C's. He missed the apostrophe with the Shamrock. He then posted a comparative split of statistics between the 2024 season at the All-Star break and the 2025-26 season at the All-Star break. Brian Ferzocco came on to this station for a Ferzocco Friday on Friday and reacted to that tweet. Brian, could you reiterate very briefly for the folks back home what your stance on that tweet was?
He still feels like he doesn't get enough credit, and he still has to go out and make a post that he knows people are going to react to and sort of question and wonder where his motives are behind him. Like,
okay, so that was directly from Twitter?
That was pulled. I saw the Weekend show yesterday used it, so I was like, all right, I'll just pull that.
Oh,
no, good. I think that, you know, my whole stance was, do I know exactly what Jaylen Brown was thinking and is thinking when he put out that social media post in the aftermath? No, of course not. I can't crawl into inside of his head. But what I do know is there's no way he can post that without thinking that people are going to react to it. The way that I reacted to it, the way that others have reacted to it, and to jump to the conclusions that we've been jumping to. Do I know exactly what he means by that post? No, of course I don't. But it's hard not to draw lines. We've talked about the two of them, their relationship, how they're going to work together both on and off the floor together, really since Jason Tatum was drafted into the league and them playing the same position and how they're going to work moving forward. We've been questioning that. Even after winning a championship, people still have question marks about how the two of them will fit together. And when you make posts like that, it's hard for people not to draw lines and draw, you know, theories and conclusions about what he could mean. So that's sort of where I went. Do I know exactly what he means? No. Do I know that he's exactly taking a shot at Jason Tatum? I don't know that for sure, but it's hard not to draw that conclusion.
They lost 5 of their top 9 minute getters over the offseason from the last 2 seasons, including the 2024 season, if you include Jason Tatum. So Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, Luke Kornet, and then Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a shot at any of them. Like, I just think...
But Turp, look at the roles.
He's been very consistent.
Jaylen Brown is now the best player on the Celtics, right? Undoubtedly. He is sort of the driving force behind this season's Celtics team. Over the last, I don't know, handful of years, 3-4 seasons, it had been Jason Tatum. And even just, you know, looking at last year, it was Jason Tatum. That's the season he's comparing it to. If he wants to shake his ass at people who doubted the team, whether it's the media, whether it's Celtics fans, whoever it was, who said that this team is not going to be the same with all the players they lost, whether it was Porzingis, whether it was Drew Holiday, Jason Tatum going down with injury. If he just wanted to do that, all he had to do was post where the Celtics are this year.
That's right? What it is. It's their all-star break, record seed, offensive, defensive, net.
But he's comparing it to last season.
Yeah, I mean, he's been very consistent with this throughout the entire offseason, throughout now. he remembers, you know, what people were thinking about this team coming into the year. Their win total was set at 41.5.
Absolutely.
That's
so why not?
Lowest since the 2014.
So why have
season.
To bring it back to last season? What does last season have to do with their expectations for this year?
I think it's just it's a point of reflection. I think when you have, would you agree that the team that they had the last two seasons with Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford is one of the most dominant teams the Celtics have had assembled?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was one of the best teams over the last decade.
Correct. They were one of the most dominant teams in basketball, and they are still playing pretty close to the level that they were playing. And he deserves to take a lap for that. People were talking about for months and months and months on these airwaves, about them tanking, about them sucking, them being a play-in team at best. And now we're talking about them winning the Eastern Conference. And I think the whole thing, the whole notion of that, you know, this is a shot at Jason Tatum, this is whatever. They've been doing this forever. This has been the thing forever. It's always Jason versus Jalen. Why can't you just have both? I think that's the biggest point. You're finding out now. You have two first-team All-NBA players. You knew they were both All-NBA players. Jason Tatum's been one the last 4 years. Jaylen Brown was one in 2022, had a case last year. Now he's proven that he's an All-NBA player as well. You have this unique skill set, this unique duo, and it's always pitting them against each other. I think just like we should be past this at this point. And even throughout their careers, right? Think about the different kind of teammates that they've had to play with. When they first got here, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were still here. Gordon Hayward sticks around through the bubble. Then Marcus Smart kind of integrates him. Kemba Walker was here as well. Marcus Smart kind of integrates himself and, you know, might have been thinking his role is a little bit more than it really was and was taking away from them a little bit. And then they bring in Drew and Kristaps and they still figured it out. They've always figured it out. And obviously it hasn't been perfect. I'm not going to sit here and be naive and say, oh, it's been, you know, it's been no Rockies, no nothing. It's just been a smooth sailing the whole way, because it hasn't, right? And they've been open about that, where they've had to sacrifice. That's a big word we hear all the time, where they've had to adjust their games or whatnot, because the reality is, it's kind of hard when you have two players that play the same position and are very similar. And they've made it work. There's 8 years of data that say this is one of, if not the, best duo in the NBA. And for whatever reason, it's not even just you. I think it's fan base. It's sectors of the fan base. It's, you know, talking heads all over the area and even nationally that just pit these two against each other. And it's just not that. When you hear them talk, when you hear Jaylen Brown talk, we heard it coming in, it was all about what the team has accomplished this year as a unit. And when you hear him talk about the future, it's about winning. Like, that's the number one goal. That's what they care about. And they do it at a high level together, a ridiculously high level together. Like, they've been to more conference finals than some teams. And for that, I think, you know, it's just the conversation's just so outdated,
but
I think.
What does their success this season, with Jaylen Brown being the driving force, being the best player, have to do with their success last year? That's what I want to know, because
it's
to me,
comparatively of where people were picking them. Like, he's been on his streams with us in the media.
So why not allude to that? Why not post a video of somebody here at WEEI, somebody on ESPN saying, you know what, I don't think the Celtics are going to do well.
On his streams, he's been like, we stay on that side. Like, remember where you were. Like, remember which side you were picking.
So why not stick with that? Why not stick
with essentially what he did.
Guys
he just
are
put
saying
the numbers there.
But he's comparing it to last season. Last season, where they were last year at the All-Star break, doesn't have anything to do with the expectations of this season. The expectations of this season, you're right, were very low. Their Vegas win total, I want to say, was
41
like 41 or something.
Lowest
right.
since the 2014.
41.5.
Season.
So post that. Post, yeah. Hey, guys, look at this. Vegas had us at 41.5. We're exceeding expectations. We're already at, 35 wins already this season?
They're on pace to win 50.
We're on pace 50, to crush the over on that. So yeah, Vegas, you don't know what you're talking about. ESPN, WEEI, whoever you want to take shots at, go for it. Their success this year has absolutely nothing to do with what they did up to this point last season.
Again, though, it's just relative, because every time he brings it up, anytime he's asked about this kind of success,
yeah,
he says how they lost good players. They lost really good players. You can make a case, right? Jason Tatum is on pace to be a Hall of Famer. Drew Holiday should be a Hall of Famer. Al Horford's should be a Hall of Famer. Kristaps Porzingis probably isn't going to meet the game requirement and all that, so he probably won't be. But like,
but
you lost
healthy
Hall of Fame type players,
yeah,
right? And this was one of the most elite teams. It's not a shot at all at that team. I understand why it can be like attributed to this one, right? You can look at, like, I'm not ignoring that, but he's been all year saying we lost these great players. And everyone, not just me, Joe, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, even the guys like the Shiremans, the Walshes, like Kata, like these guys have all stepped up so big where there hasn't been, and there has been a drop off. Like, right, they've already lost, 15 games? Then we lost close to 20 last year. There has been a little bit of a drop off, but numbers wise, they've kind of picked up where they left off.
So let me just ask you this then. So let's even put aside the fact that whether he is or isn't taking a shot at Jason Tatum, right? Because I don't think either of us know for sure.
What about the rest of the five players they lost?
But I'm sort of putting that to the side for just a second, right? Let's say he isn't taking a shot at anybody. When he posted this, don't you think he realizes that that's where people are going to run with it? Don't you think once he pushed send on that Instagram post or Twitter, wherever he posted it first, he's going to understand that I'm comparing this season to last year, regardless of who he's taking a shot at, if he's taking a shot at anybody at all?
Yeah.
Can't he assume that fans, media, people like us are going to look at that and say, huh, that's interesting. He's comparing this season to last season. I wonder what that's really about. Don't you think that goes through his mind at least a little bit?
It does, but he doesn't care. And he's been very open about that. He's in past parts of his career, he would care what people thought and how his words were interpreted. He doesn't anymore. That's why he does the streaming. Like, he's over that. He just doesn't care what people think. The one thing that he cares about is winning. And of course, like, if you're
Jaylen Brown,
do you
think this helps them win?
This tweet? No,
him,
how does the
him
tweet
sort
help
of going
all?
Out. So, but I think that's sort of my point. Like, I sort of mentioned at the end of my segment the other day, he likes to create his own chaos. That's sort of what this
feels
like.
But what's the difference when he says it at a podium in front of a microphone, or he says it on one of his Twitch streams? What's the difference of him saying it, no one really has the same reaction, versus when he actually just posts the numbers?
Because I think this is more vague. I think when you're saying it, you can sort of understand tone
pretty,
and what
he's
saying.
It's pretty clear what he's saying. I'm proud of this group and staff slash front office, looking forward to the second half. Like, would anyone really argue against what they've done has been very incredible?
Of course not. But again, why compare what the success they had this year to what they did last year? You can make the same point of we're exceeding expectations this year by just going back and saying, looking at what other people said, or like I said, the Vegas lines to open up the season. That gets the same point across.
No, I don't disagree, but he probably, I think this stat, this thing that he posted came from NBC Sports Boston. It comes across, he screenshots it and puts it out. Like, he's proud of where they're at. Like, the rejoin coming in, he's just expressing so much joy for the growth that this team has had, where, like, I just don't see the big issue with it. Like, he should be proud of what they've accomplished. Nobody expected them to be second in the Eastern Conference in, what, 15 games above 500 at the All-Star break.
So when he says, this is the favorite season of my career, that's the same reason why? Because they were doubted.
He's been doubted since day one. Like,
that's true.
He's always the first one to mention. I was booed at the draft.
Yeah,
like, he's always the first one to mention. Yeah, Joe dated him. He was booed at the draft. He's the first one to mention that. Like, he doesn't forget that. So, for him to kind of have this moment of, you know, silencing everybody, I don't blame him for feeling good about it. Like, he's been kind of overlooked. He's been kind of the second fiddle in his mind, but he's always thought he can be this. Like, in his mind, this has always been him. And now he's actually just expressing it, like, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is where I've been.
Yeah, and this is also something that has been propagated by comments that have come out in the media in the past, which is why there are two very split opinions on what this tweet means. There is the group terp that sides with you, that it's simply just responding to the doubters of the Celtics as a whole. Y'all didn't think that we were going to be here, and look where we are comparatively just as a team. It's kind of the Celtics versus everybody else. But there have been moments where he has voiced his opinion that he believes that he is capable of doing more and being a true number one in the league. And that is then assumed to be a shot against Jason Tatum, who is the chosen one within the Boston Celtics. So there are people, and this is what Brian is voicing. There are always going to be fans of the Celtics that perceive a divide between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I know that Jaylen Brown's a very cerebral dude. He knows that. So I'm sure that he hit send on this tweet knowing this is pretty ambiguous, and I'm going to have people who perceive this a bunch of different ways, but it doesn't really bother me anymore. And it seems like he uses the responses to stuff like this as fuel in his game, quite honestly.
He does. He uses really anything for fuel. I think him and Joe Mazzulla they're cut from a similar cloth, where if they're not getting kind of the motivation that, you know, externally, because people have been very complimentary of them this year. Joe Mazzulla was talking about last week. He's like, I just make stuff up. Just like, I just make stuff up that'll kind of rile me up. And I think Jalen's the same way. I just, for him to be, you know, this has been the kind of the opportunity that he wanted to showcase, right? And I think, again, when he talked about it after, when they were on the road trip a couple weeks ago, he talked about it, just, you know, the idea of bringing back Jason Tatum. He's like, of course I'd want Jason Tatum back. Like, winning is the number one thing, but he mentioned how he wanted him to be healthy and all that. Like, the divide is, I think, just so externally, it's such a thing externally where it's not an internal thing.
Well, the conversation has certainly gotten the people going. We'll take your calls and texts on this at 617-779-7937. Plus, all of a sudden, all these details are just starting to emerge. The Jason Tatum plan is getting clearer. What happened to reevaluating, needing longer to recover from this injury? All of a sudden, it seems like there's a pretty clear plan for a return for the Celtics superstar. We'll continue talking Celtics with our own Justin Turpin here on WEEI Afternoons after Brian Frazoco gets you caught up on what's trending.
WEEI. Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Think Boston Sports Talk is something only local fans can enjoy? Think again.
Even if you're outside the city, you want to know what the Red Sox are up to, who's earning starts, and which moves actually matter.
Add Celtics rotations and NFL roster shakeups, and you got Boston Sports from voices who know the scene.
Jones and Keefe bring you hearty laughs, the hot takes, and the hometown energy that makes Boston Sports fun to follow from wherever you are.
Hear what's really moving the conversation in Boston sports.
Follow and listen to Jones and Keefe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations. So it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today. When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
EEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
It was always a foregone conclusion that Tatum was going to try to give it a go and return at some point during the season after suffering that Achilles tear. But league sources just informed me right now that Jason Tatum is now reevaluating his situation, and it is up in the air on if he's going to return at all this season. Now, I was told that there are a couple of factors of why he's reached that point, but as of right now, that changes the whole landscape, because Tatum even told me personally months back he was returning at some point. Right. He was getting ready to return, and it was getting close. I was hearing it was getting close, and the league sources informed me that the situation has changed, and now it is up in the air if he's going to return or not.
Well, that was Chris Haynes of Prime Video's NBA coverage. And Chris, unfortunately, your league sources let you down there, good buddy, because Something Terp called the quiet work is currently in the works with NBC. What exactly is this?
It is a five-part docuseries documenting Jason Tatum's return. Now, maybe I'm misreading this, but I don't think a guy is making a five-part series to not come back this season. I don't think he's practicing with the Maine Celtics in February to not come back this season. He's been open about it. Like, he wanted to play this year. Remember, at the beginning of the year, he wanted to play this year. He made that very clear. Of course, you know, and I think he did a good job explaining this when he met with the media last week. He's like, over 39 weeks, your mind kind of wanders. And I think that's what happened when the Chris Haynes report comes out, when he goes on that podcast and he's talking about not wanting to disrupt the chemistry. Like, you're 39 weeks of recovery, you're watching this team soar up the Eastern Conference standings, and your mind kind of wanders a little bit. And I think he was, like he said, it was a moment of like vulnerability where he's explaining, like, yeah, this kind of crosses my mind, but I don't think it was ever actually going to dictate his return. Like, Brad Stevens said it, like, when them two have talked, he's like, Jason Tatum knows who he is. Like, he knows any of the 30 other teams in the NBA would be better off with Jason Tatum on their team.
So where does that Chris Haynes report come from? Is that just a moment of weakness from Jason Tatum that was then communicated to his representation that then ends up working its way back to Chris Haynes? Where does something like that come from?
I mean, I think it can certainly be that, but it also kind of felt like it was off the heels of the podcast kind of inferring little bit. You know what I mean? And that's not
the
to say that
Ryan Clark podcast that he was on?
The Pivot Pod. Pivot Podcast. And Chris Haynes is very tied in. Like, he's broken NBA news before, but that felt like kind of just basing off the podcast, like, after. You know what I mean?
And it's up in the air on if he's going to return at all.
I think the bigger story that came out that night, that the Chris Haynes night, was, you know, ESPN's Ramona Shelburne followed up on that and made it clear that it was kind of just based off him wanting to get it right the first time with the recovery, right? He's not going to come back if he's 99%. He's not going to come back if he's even 99.9%. He has to be 100%, like 100% unhealthy. Let's limit the risk of this happening again. So I think that's kind of what it was. And it's that moment of vulnerability. Like, you know, you've been doing this for so long, you're getting close and your mind just wanders. And both him and Brad Stevens echoed that last week. So I think those comments were also read into a little bit too much, like looking at, you know, how he disrupt the chemistry. Like, of course there's going to be a learning curve. He's never played with these guys in these positions. Like, all right, he's played with Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, Jaylen Brown, Kata, like, he's Jordan Walsh. He's played with these guys, but not in the roles that they're in now. They've elevated into different roles, and some of the newer guys, like a Vucevic, like, he hasn't played with him. So there is going to be a learning curve, but, like, to think that a guy like Jason Tatum, again, an all-NBA guy, is going to come in and tank the season is a little extreme.
Yeah, no, it's a lot to think that a guy who is that good is going to come in and all of a sudden everything falls apart. I am curious to see what the distribution of touches is like. I'm curious to see who gets the proverbial last shot. I am curious to see if they run Jaylen Brown's offense or Jason Tatum's offense, or if one is off the floor, then they run one versus somebody's on the floor and they run the other. Is there a minutes restriction? And if so, how much do you think it could be? And just simply, how much do we see Jason Tatum into the mix?
Yeah, they haven't been clear about the minute restrictions. Of course, they've been kind of closed off with all of this, but it'd be very fair to assume when he comes back, there is going to be a minutes restriction. So I think that also kind of makes it a little bit difficult because people, it's a results business, right? And especially with what we do, we have to, you know, especially if you're a day part show, you got to fill 20 hours a week. And
yeah,
you have to react to the now. You don't necessarily have the luxury to be like, oh, we'll just wait and see. Like, no, you have to react to the now when it's happening. And when he comes back, I think people are going to immediately start breaking things down. People like how things are fitting in. But first of all, he has to relearn his body, get over that mental hurdle, relearn, have that confidence and that trust in himself again. And he has to fit into the system. Like, this is going to be a couple week progress. So if he comes back, which I think a lot of people are starting to think around the first week of March,
yeah,
gives him what, a month and a half about to ramp up and kind of get comfortable, and by the postseason, maybe, I don't, admittedly, wouldn't know how the inner workings of a potential minute restriction would be, but I think it'd be fair to say, you know, just based off historical context and what we've seen from other people, I understand everyone's different, but by the second round, you'd probably assume that that's good. Like, he's good. He's done with the minutes restriction. And by then, you would just hope he knocks off the rust. Because I think there was a time frame that he kind of had to be back by. And it was probably the first week of March. Because if you're only giving him a couple weeks to ramp up in these high leverage games into
anything
the postseason,
less than a month feels
it's probably just
rushed.
Too rushed, right? Especially with the physicality. Because you listen to any NBA coach or player talk about the difference between the regular season and the postseason. They all mention the physicality, and that's something obviously that you're gonna have to get used to again coming off such a traumatic injury. So it is going to be interesting to just kind of see how that all unfolds. And again, we're going to be reacting to it in the now as it unfolds. That's our job. That's the media's job. You have to react to things that happen, but you won't really know for a couple weeks.
And when next season comes around, again, something that I can't worry about until it's in front of my face, but I can't help wonder about in the moment. Does Jaylen Brown just settle back into the Robin role where we just once again run Jason Tatum's offense out there every single game and that's just the way it goes?
Well, the reality is the roster is not as talented as we were just talking about last segment where they had one of the most dominant teams assembled like in Celtics history. Like the roster isn't as talented where they can't play that brand of basketball anymore.
Sure,
like, you don't have all these 36% three-point shooters that can space the floor at an incredible level. Like, you have to play differently. And that's why they're so keen on the offensive glass, like creating extra possessions, because you have to. You don't have that luxury anymore. And maybe they will down the line, but this year it will not be in the cards. Like, you're going to have to play differently than you did the last 2 years with Tatum in this roster. And that's part of the learning curve, right? It's a different system. So to answer the question, it's going to look different. And it's something that Tatum's going to have to adapt to because they quite literally can't play the way they were playing because they don't have the assets and the talent to do it.
Go ahead, Bri.
Just a quick question, Terp. This is sort of going back in the time machine, but Jason Tatum sort of had some struggles with his shooting before the injury. When he comes back, don't you feel like that's certainly when they're ramping him up, sort of going to be his role, right? Kind of sit outside the three-point line and do a lot of shooting, not so much sort of driving to the hole and, you know, taking unnecessary contact. Do you worry about that part of his game at all, the catch-and-shoot aspect of it? Because it felt like sort of the last couple seasons, really, especially in the postseason, his three-point percentage really dropped significantly.
Yeah, I do worry about more, not as much the catch-and-shoot. I worry about the driving ability because Jason Tatum's at his best when he's going downhill. And if we remember getting in the time machine, like you said, back when he was first starting off in the league, he was so timid on the drives, right? It wasn't something he really did, and he grew into that. And now a great driver, one of the best aspects of the game, that and the post. And I just wonder a little bit, like, how long it takes him to get over that mental hurdle of going through, like you said, that physicality and those bumps and bruises and how that affects him. So I worry more about, you know, his confidence in himself and his driving before the catch and shoot. Like, Jason Tatum's a great shooter. We all know that. And seeing him warm up now, like, the shot hasn't missed at all. And Damian Lillard stands up for Achilles Nation and wins a three-point contest over the weekend. You feel pretty good about his shot, but it's I'd worry a little bit more about the downhill stuff.
I'm not sure I'd wear the Achilles Nation t-shirt, but I appreciate the sentiment there on that one. 617-779-7937 is the phone number before we go to break. Bob is in Belmont on the Celtics. Hi, Bob.
All right, thank you. Good show.
Thanks.
I'm not sure you're going to agree with me, but I feel strongly about this. Jaylen Brown, if you were to give him truth syrup, I think would admit that he would almost rather Tatum not come back. He sees himself not only as good as Tatum, I think, in my opinion, I think he thinks he's even better. This is a guy that a while ago anointed himself captain of the team. It wasn't from the coach. The next day, Mazzulla came out and said that we have a lot of captains on the team. He's a good player. He's a top 20 player. Maybe after this year, I had him 18, closer to 20. Maybe he's 16. But he's still a turnover machine. He's shooting about 30% from the three-point line. He's had a good year, but everybody talks about his year like it's a spectacular year. You check his assists. Now, I'll give him this. And he's a good player. He's a top 20 player. In my opinion, Tatum is a top 5 player.
Okay, thank you for the call, Bob. I appreciate the thoughts. I think it's still a spectacular year for Jaylen Brown. I understand the some of the like the assist to turnover ratio, for example, isn't up at the top of the league, but
that's kind of
spectacular.
That's
kind
of going to be a natural give and take of anyone that has the ball in their hands that much and plays that high of minutes. So that's kind of something. But to go back to his original point, I want to go back to this quote from Jaylen Brown. This is from February 3rd. This is the one I was talking about from the West Coast trip. Quote, obviously, we'd love to have him back. Talking about Jason Tatum. Winning is the most important thing for me. So being able to winning and having and potentially having him another deep run is what I'm aiming for. JT is a big part of that. Like, that's it. Like, that's it. And he was talked about this. I've mentioned this before on the air here. He talked about this earlier in the year in one of his streams where he got advice from Tracy McGrady,
yeah,
where he was talking about how he was frustrated with always being in trade rumors and his situation here. And Tracy McGrady said to him, like, don't leave, like, chase winning. And he talks about how much that resonated with him, how much that advice resonated with him. And anytime you hear Jaylen Brown talk about his future, it's always starts and ends with winning. I think a lot of people think it starts with him, and in his case, I, and ends with me. Like, that's not what it is. It's about winning. And I think that kind of perspective is important. Like, they're not getting out of the East in a playoff series without Jason Tatum, especially now without the ball handler with trading Anthony Simons. And I think they are better in the long term for getting a guy like Vucevic. But without Jason Tatum, you're not making out of the Eastern Conference. And I think this team understands that. Like, as good as they've been, they understand that they need him. They need him, and that's just the reality of it.
We'll continue to take your calls and read your texts on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as we continue to talk Celtics here on WEEI Afternoons. But up next, the All-Star NBA weekend has come and gone. Where were you when you were watching All-Star weekend? But in all seriousness, what did Terp think, and are there changes the NBA can make to this event that make it watchable and make it the event that it was in years past? We'll discuss the case facing the NBA in that regard. We'll do it next.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign-up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations. So it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today. When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements. Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
You missed any part of the show,
or to have it delivered to your phone daily,
subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on the Odyssey app
or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
When you talk about guys competing, that was the biggest question. How can we get guys to play hard against one another? And we saw that tonight. We saw guys like Anthony Edwards. We saw Victor Wembanyama. We saw the old school guys in Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James competing. That's all that matters. And it was actually playing a great brand of basketball and going at it. That's what the game has been missing. I feel like the NBA has finally got something set in stone where they could build from. I think this needs to be the format moving forward.
Kendrick Perkins on ESPN talking about the NBA All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend at large, which I tell you, Terp, and I love both you and your sport, has really been circling the drains in recent years. And it's time now for our league leaders in Who's Circling the Drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. And I got to be honest, for the last couple of years, I haven't given a singular poop about the NBA All-Star Game or the product that they're putting out. But you mentioned it. Victor Wembanyama gave a poop about it this time around, and it seemed to kind of instill a little bit of something in the guys that were playing with him. So I ask you a baseline question. Can the NBA's All-Star Weekend be revitalized in any way? And if so, how can they do it?
It's going to have to take the buy-in from guys like Victor Wembanyama that we saw last night. I used it for my three-point stance earlier. Just from the first possession, getting Cade Cunningham in position, putting him in the post, throwing down a monster dunk. Then he's running around in transition. He's blocking shots. And if you're somebody like Anthony Edwards, Kawhi Leonard, you know, take any name that was out there. You see Wembanyama giving it your all. You're not going to let him punk you like that.
Right.
And Anthony Edwards said that after game one there. And he was saying, like, ain't going to lie, Wemby set the tone. And, like, that's what it needs. That's what it's been lacking. I don't even know if it was necessarily the USA versus world aspect of it. And I did like the format of it, but I think it was just one player like that just giving that care factor. I think that was the biggest part of it. Like, because again, like the world team got bounced and they were the first one to go. And,
right,
you know, for it to still be as competitive as it was, like, it's just that buy-in. I like the round robin format. I think that just naturally breeds kind of competitiveness. And even last year, I didn't think the basketball itself was bad. It was more so they kept cutting into the games for send-offs to ESPN, or to TNT rather, for the Inside the NBA show,
right,
which wasn't even breaking up. They were just moving to a different network, and they're doing this like big farewell. They're bringing out, at one point, I think they brought out like influencer stuff. Like, that's what ruined it last year. And the fact that it was just strictly basketball and you had buy-in from Wembanyama, who obviously set the tone, and it forced other guys to follow suit, like, it made for a good product. Like, the reality is, it's never going to be great. It's an all-star. Like, that's what it is. You still have Karl Anthony Towns jacking up shots from the logo. LeBron had a couple of them. You have fast breaks. You have backdoor cuts that aren't covered. Like, that's it. That's the NBA All-Star Game. Like, that's how it's going to be. It's never going to be this wicked competitive environment. But if you can at least get a little bit of competitiveness like we saw last night, it makes it palatable. And I think people actually enjoyed the product from just what I've, you know, seen online and from different people that I've talked to, like friends of mine or people that cover the sport, or they like it.
Yeah.
So I think it was a step forward, and they needed it, because the NBA All-Star on Saturday, the three-point contest, the Rising Stars, the dunk contest, not as fun.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed
the
quote unquote winning dunk that I saw on Twitter, which nobody won, and watching that being the winning dunk. But you're right, ultimately, in the sense that you're going to get out of it what the players choose to put into it. If the players take the gameplay seriously, then you're going to get people who are more incentivized to watch. Because if I can get some kind of guarantee that it's best on best playing at their best, versus just, you know, jogging around, jacking up threes, I'm more inclined to watch, because I do want to see what Victor Wembanyama and Cade Cunningham and everybody do against Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Jaylen Brown. And I want to see them at even 80 to 90%. If I can get that against each other, I do want to see what that product looks like. But I don't want to see 50% effort and guys just, oh, whatever, I missed. We're just going around and trying to kill time.
Especially
I don't even want to see that.
it's East versus West, right? Like, when those kind of guys, and I don't think they should go back to that format. I think that format, you know, first of all, the shorter games are important because it allows for not as many blowouts, right? Like, that's when people lose interest, when it's a blowout and guys are just the losing team or just jacking up unwarranted shots and all that. Like, that's when people lose interest. But having a shorter game, having people actually just bring the competitive swagger, and there are players that didn't. Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic could not have cared less last night. Hated it. And that's going to happen. Like, it's a long season, especially now if you want guys to play hard for the NBA in-season tournament and all that. Like, I get it. Like, this is supposed to be your downtime. You're not going to go out and, you know, give it your all in an all-star game. Totally fair.
Yeah.
And that's every sport, right? Like, I think that's across the board. But all it takes is one guy to kind of set the tone. And with Victor Wembanyama, I think it's safe to assume that this guy is going to be a perennial all-star for a long, long time here. And I think that's important, just him setting the tone like that.
There's no chance, I don't think, that they would ever do this, but you sort of hit on the East-West thing. Is there any chance they could tweak the schedule, the regular season schedule, where not every team plays every team in the regular season? So then this way you get one of the best players in the Eastern Conference to face off against one of the best players in the Western Conference. Hey, they haven't played against each other in a couple of years, and sort of try to get that aspect, right? We used to have that in baseball, right? Where it would be AL guys versus NL guys, and you hadn't seen them play all year, and you weren't going to see them play for another two seasons or whatever the case may be. Trying to do that. Now, again, it's going to be really hard because guys like LeBron James will go to every, they might not play, but they will travel to every stadium throughout the season.
The cup
guys
also
like
complicates
Steph Curry.
That a little bit.
So that's a good point too, but trying to find ways to have players play against each other who may not have played against each other for a year or multiple years.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a fair point, but I just don't think they'd want to mess with the regular season product in an effort to save the all-star product. Like, obviously the regular season, that's the cash cow, that's it. That is what they're going for. That is the product. So I think they have it in a nice way where, you know, you see Western Conference teams, like you see Anthony Edwards here twice a year, assuming he plays in both. Same thing with like LeBron and with Luka. Like, you see these guys twice a year, and like that's kind of the sell. Like, your team sees them. Obviously, it's different when it's Eastern Conference teams, and there's no real way around that just because of the conference play. But I just don't think they go through those leaps and bounds to save the All-Star game.
Right.
I think that's just where I'd land on that.
So, but is it worth saving? It's worth saving and continuing versus just abandoning.
I think
that's been a refrain on social media.
Now, I think so the All-Star game, yes. I think it is worth saving. I think we saw that last night. I think we actually saw that the year before, too. Again, the basketball was fine. It wasn't that. But the All-Star weekend, the three-point contest, the rising stars, the shooting stars, the dunking contest, that's kind of beyond repair here.
Okay.
Now, I think my alternative or my suggestion for especially the dunk and the three-point contest, make it every 4 years. Make it something like that.
Yeah.
Spread it out. Like, and then it comes around. It's like, oh, there's a dunk contest this year. And then maybe stars are more inclined to do it. But I'm sorry. When Jackson Hayes is the most prominent name in the dunk contest, that's an issue. Like, guys love dunk. People love dunks. People think they're cool. Some will say it's the coolest part of basketball. But when it's a bunch of kind of nobodies in the grand scheme of things, It's a tough draw.
Yeah, when you had to outsource your dunk stardom to Mac McClung for a number of years in a row, then that kind of shows you the state of it. But before we hit our break, before we get to the drive to talk about some of the biggest stories that have gone on so far today, Mike is in East Longmeadow. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Good. What's up?
You know, listening to you guys trying to pump up the All-Star, and when you're talking about competitiveness, I'm from old school. Jordan wanted to win the game. Kobe Bryant wanted to win the game. Garnett wanted to win the game. And everybody on their team played hard. That didn't happen yesterday.
No, I don't disagree, but I think that's gone. I think that's the one point. Like, it's just a different mentality now.
Of course it is. They're playing the All-Star game. Well, yesterday maybe not as much, but in the past they play the All-Star game like they play the season. They run down the court and they shoot the three. They run down the court and they shoot the three.
Yeah, there's always going to be that disconnect, I think.
And
the 3-point debate is just, we've done this for so long now. It's like the game has evolved.
Yeah.
Like, you see different games evolve and like games change over time. And that's where the NBA is at. In order to, if you look at teams that win, most of them are towards the high. If you make more threes than your opponent, you're probably more likely to win. That's just how the NBA is now. And as to the point, like with the old school mentality, it's just, it's not how players think anymore. Like, it seems like a cop-out, but it's just the truth. Like, they do not look at it that way anymore. And maybe it's not as tough. You can settle on that wherever you want. But It's just those days are gone. And maybe a guy like Wembanyama can kind of spark that fire, but you're always going to have people out there that just don't care.
All right, we'll leave that one there because it is 5 o'clock. It is time for The Drive. As part of our show, we talked with Steve Dangle-Glenn earlier today about the Olympics and his perspective on the Boston Bruins. We also talked Red Sox and Rafael Devers after hearing from Sam Kennedy over the weekend. Some of the highlights of our show and what's going on in the world of sports on The Drive up next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.